Okay. V'hoya Ekev, v'hoya Ekev Tishman, Pashas Ekev. So Rashi tells us, v'hoya Ekev, what does the word Ekev mean? So Rashi tells us, em ha-mitzvah sakalos, sh'odom dosh v'akev of Tishman. If you follow, you listen to light mitzvahs, the easy mitzvahs, that a person steps on with his heel. Ekev is a lotion of heel, the back of the foot. So there are certain mitzvahs that people treat very lightly, that don't have chashivos in people's eyes. They treat it lightly. So the pasuk is saying, "V'hoya Ekev." If you listen to those mitzvahs, then you be zeicher to all the promises that are in this week's parasha. Yishmo chav techos, Hashem will watch His promise and will reward you. In the Vardik, they would say the following. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, "Havizohe b'mitzvah kala k'vachamura." Be careful to keep a light mitzvah, an easy mitzvah, and a chomer to the mitzvah. Shein ato yedeya matan scharon shel mitzvahs. Because we don't know the schar from mitzvahs. We don't know what might be light in our eyes, and what might be chomer in our eyes is really just the opposite. Because we don't know on the scale which mitzvah has greater schar. And the Vardik, they would say over, that if a person is not careful to treat the chalois, the easy mitzvahs, like the chamurois, like the more chomedic mitzvahs, the memeilo, the opposite happens. And people will end up treating the chamurois like the chalois. If you're not careful with the chalois, and you don't give them the same chashivos as you do to the mitzvahs chamurois, then the opposite takes effect, and people will end up treating the chamurois like the chalois. They say over a story, true, not true, but the point of the story, by one of the Knesiyas HaGadolos, the Chofetz Chaim wanted to either they should announce or put out a kol kairei that speaking Lashon Hara is just as bad as eating chazon. What was the Chofetz Chaim's kavana? Speaking Lashon Hara, people pushed away. People speak Lashon Hara. Eating chazon? Chaz v'sholom. So the Chofetz Chaim wanted to bring out the point that speaking Lashon Hara is just as chomer as eating chazon. So Rabbi Chaim Oizer, supposedly, small, said to the Chofetz Chaim, that's not a good idea. Because if you're going to say that speaking Lashon Hara is the same as eating chazon, that people will end up being mekel and they'll end up eating chazon as well. Because people will end up, say, oh, like Lashon Hara, they'll be mekel and eating chazon as well.
Good point.
There are certain mitzvahs or various that somehow in the human nature became light or chomer to us. And the pasuk is telling us, "V'hoya Ekev Tishmon," you have to be careful those mitzvahs that a person steps on with his heel. And we don't know the schar of mitzvahs. Since we don't know the schar of mitzvahs, we don't know what's really in kal, what's really in mochamor, and therefore a person does all of the mitzvahs. But lemaisa, the mitzvahs that a person does over and over again, the daily mitzvahs a person does every day, day in and day out, after a while a person gets in a habit and has a routine. And it sort of becomes very automatic when a person does a mitzvah. So those mitzvahs, a person has to think a little bit, work on them a little bit, should be with a little more kavana, a little more feeling. It should just be automatically like the mitzvahs that a person steps on and pushes away. The pasuk says, Periches, Pasuk Yitzayin. V'amata b'lvavecha, koichi v'aitzim yodi osri tachan hazeh. A person will say in your heart, that's my koyach and my strength that did this for me. The Ramban over here writes very, very powerful words.
What is it referring to?
That a person shouldn't say that it's all me, I did it, it's my kayach, it's my strength, my power that did it. But a person has to realize that it all comes from Hashem.
Oh, okay.
And the Ramban writes powerful words. And Perik Yud Ches Pasik, sorry, Perik Ches Pasik Yud Ches Techof, the Ramban writes the following words. The Ramban writes, Im Tachsha, if a person thinks, I did it. I won the Muhammad. I was the one that was successful. Tiskar, a person should remember that Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, and in Mitzrayim it wasn't your kayach at all. Nobody would be able to say it was their strength, their power that took us out of Mitzrayim. Yitzias Mitzrayim, everyone knows, was from Hashem. In the Midbar, A person can't say, it was me, I bought the parnasa, I was able to make the parnasa, I was able to feed myself. Everyone knows in the Midbar, Hashem sent us the man. So a person has to look back and see those times where it's clear that it was Hashem who was the one behind everything. And even now, when it appears to a person as if he's doing it, the person should know it's not me, it's not my kayach, but rather it all comes from Hashem. The Alter from Kelem says, look carefully at the pasuk. It says, "V'amarta bilvavecha," you will say in your heart. It doesn't say pen yoyma bilvavecha. Maybe you will say. You find other places the Torah says pen. Maybe you'll say this. Maybe you'll think like this. Here it says v'amarta. You will say kaychi ba'itzmi. Zot the Alter from Kelem, because the Torah is teaching us human nature. We all say this. At some point in everybody's life, a person feels successful, a person feels satisfied, and he says, oh, kaychi vaitzim yadi, v'amarto. It's not a pen, it's not a maybe, it's a vadai, v'amarto. You're going to say this. That's the way people think, that's the way people feel. You're going to say, it's me. You should know, it's a charto. Learn the next pasuk. Remember, it's Hashem who gave you the kayach, and Hashem took you out of Mitzrayim, and so on. And don't let that...
What?
Perik Ches Pasuk Yuzayin. Don't let that idea stay in your head. If you're not careful, that idea takes root, and a person walks away with the attitude of Kaychi Ve'aitzim Yodi. Yabshalom Shadron would say over the famous story, whether it's a real story that happened, or it's just to bring out the point, you would always he'd say with a story, it was a person in Yerushalayim. He called him Tummel. His name was Tummel. And Tummel had a mishigas. He went ahead. He decided that he wants to direct traffic. Without him, in a busy intersection, the traffic won't be able to function properly. He wants to direct traffic. So he buys himself a policeman's uniform. Okay. And he walks down to the intersection. And he stands in the middle of the street with a stick, with his whistle. And when the traffic light turns green, he starts waving his stick for all the cars to go. When the traffic light turns yellow, he blows his whistle for the traffic to slow down. When it turns red, he puts up his hand for everyone to stop. And every day, month after month, year after year, he went down to this big intersection and he directed traffic.
Okay.
One day, someone says to him, what are you doing? Don't you see there's a traffic light? The traffic light is functioning very well without you. And he says, listen, traffic light does its job, I do my job. I'm here directing traffic. Without me, who knows what can happen. And year after year, he stands in the intersection directing traffic, waving a stick, telling the cars to go, whistle, telling the cars to slow down, and his hand up to tell the cars to stop. The years go on, and one day he ends up in the hospital. He's not well, he ends up in the hospital. And while he's lying in bed, he's very agitated, he's trying to jump out and leave. And they ask him, what's the matter? Why are you so agitated? He says, what do you mean? Who knows what's happening right now on the streets? I'm not standing outside directing traffic. Who knows what's happened? And they try to explain to him that there's a traffic light. He doesn't have to be there. And he doesn't want to hear. Who knows what's going to happen if I'm not standing there directing traffic? No, it's a little story. But isn't that all of us? We're busy directing traffic. Our whole life, we're busy directing traffic. If we're not there, it's not going to happen. If we don't stop it, it's not going to stop. We have to tell it to go. We have to slow it down. It's us. We're doing it. We're directing everything. We're busy directing traffic. And sometimes we forget that Hashem is standing behind us. And Hashem is there turning the light green, or the light yellow, or the light red. We're so busy, we think without us, it can't happen. Without us, it never would be. If we're not there, who knows? We have to slow down a little bit and think. It's not kaychi baitzim yodi. It's not our kayach, but rather it all comes from Hashem. Sometimes it's obvious. Sometimes it's a little harder to see. But we have to be able to see through it all. It says, in Perek Zayin Pasuk Chavav. So, going back a little bit. In Perek Zayin Pasuk Chavav, the Pasuk says, you shouldn't bring a te'eva into your house, referring to Avodah Zorah. Referring to Avodah Zorah. The Gemara in Soita, Naftal, the Mabez, the Gemara writes, Anybody who has gaiva, ki'ilu oived avoid the zara, it's like he served avoid the zara. Siv hacha, it says over here, in Mishlei, it says, toyavas Hashem kol gvalev. Anyone has a haughty heart, gaiva is disgusted by Hashem. The Siv Hosm says in Pashas Ekev, voisavi soyeva elbesecha by avoid the zara. Avoid the zara is called toyeva, and gaiva is called toyeva. So one who's about gaiva, it's as if he served avoid the zara. Say of a story, there was a chassid who came to his Rebbe and he said to the Rebbe, Rebbe, I have a problem. The Rebbe asks him, what's the problem? I'm a big Baal Gaiva, he says. I have a lot of Gaiva. What could the Rebbe do for me that I shouldn't be such a big Baal Gaiva? The Gaiva is getting to me. What can I do? The Rebbe tells him, Gaiva, no problem. Just sit here. Stay in the room with me and everything will be okay. Okay, the Rebbe says to say, the chassid says. A few minutes later, an amana comes in, and the amana starts crying to the Rebbe that she has a daughter to marry off, and there's no money for the chasana, and she's crying to the Rebbe to help her. The Rebbe turns to the chassid sitting in the corner, he says to the chassid, no, pay for the chasana. Go ahead, here's a chance to do a mitzvah. Go ahead, sponsor the whole chasana, pay. So the chassid says, Rebbe, I don't have the means to do so. I don't have the means to pay for the whole chasana. A little while later, the head of the Beis Din walks in, says to the Rebbe, Rebbe, we have a big shayla in Beis Din, and a big machoikis, so we need your input. We need to know what to do. And he tells the Rebbe the whole shayla. The Rebbe says to the chassid, oh, they have a poisik sitting in the corner. Go ahead and ask the poisik sitting here. Ask him his opinion. Go ahead and pass him the shayla. The chassid says, Rebbe, I might even learn, but a poisik I'm not. I don't know how to pass him such a shaylas. Okay. A few minutes later, one of the businessmen comes in. Rebbe, I have a big business opportunity. Certain opportunity arose. Should I take it? Should I not take it? Should I invest? Is it worth it? Is it not? Rebbe, what should I do? Rebbe says to the chassid, no problem. Ask him. He'll advise you what to do. The chassid says, Rebbe, I'm not a businessman. I don't know what to do. I don't know if I should tell him yes or no. So the Rebbe says to him, an usher, you're not. A Talmud Chacham, you're not. A businessman, you're not. And gaiva you have? Faket. The problem is, from where do you take your gaiva? Where does your gaiva come from in the first place? A person like this, how could you have such gaiva? Okay, that was the story. Bottom line is that every person, we all think in our own little way, a gaiva. But we all know that deep down, everyone has their own chesroinus. We don't have to face up to our chesroinus. But everybody has their own chesroinus. If a person is honest with himself, a person would realize that there's not much to be about gaiva. Pasuk we say every day in Shema. Chavetz Chaim brings down famous marshal, Chavetz Chaim. Imagine an ani, a poor person. There's nothing to eat in the house. And he doesn't have any money to his name. And the ani, with the few coins that he's able to collect, he buys a lottery ticket. And imagine his surprise, the ani wins the lottery. He wins the lottery ticket. He finds out that he has the winning numbers.
He's no ani.
All of a sudden in his house, as soon as they find out he has the winning numbers, you hear a big commotion. They're singing, they're dancing, they're celebrating he won the lottery. And the neighbors come running. What happened? Why are you singing for? Why are you dancing for? What happened? We don't see anything changed. There's no food on the table. Not have any new clothing. There's nothing to wear. Why are you singing for? Why are you dancing for? And the ani says, because I have the winning lottery ticket. It's sitting here in my pocket. And they say to the ani, big deal, so what? But right now there's no food. Right now you still don't have anything. Why are you celebrating if you don't have? And the ani says, because this lottery ticket, with this ticket, I will have. And since I will have everything, it's as if I have it right now, and I'm celebrating the fact that I will have, it's as if I have it right now. Says the Chofetz Chaim, the same is true. It comes to mitzvahs. Hashem promises us schar, reward, Hashem promises us schar for the mitzvahs that we do. Sometimes it's hard to do mitzvahs. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult. Sometimes it doesn't go as easy as we want. And it's hard. And we have to look at the ticket that we have, the winning lottery ticket that we have. We have the winning lottery ticket, the mitzvahs, and the schar that we have for doing the mitzvahs. even though now it's difficult, but ultimately it'll be worth our while to do the mitzvahs. And many times, when it is difficult to do mitzvahs, a person needs a little chizik to be able to go on, to be able to do the mitzvah properly. Remember that we have the winning, the mitzvahs are the winning lottery ticket that we have, whether it's the schar in this world, schar in the next world, it's the fact that we're close to Hashem, able to be over the Hashem, that in itself is the schar, and with that, a person becomes closer to Hashem. The pasuk tells us, v'achalto v'savato v'irachto Hashem alekecha. In Perek Ches, Pasuk Yud, a person eats, is satisfied, and he benches. From here is the Mekar for Birchas HaMazon D'Araisa. This is the Mekar that benching is Min HaTorah. And we all know that benching, a person who benches with Kavana, it's brought down as the school for Parnasa, a person who benches with Kavana says the words clearly the way he should. I believe the Behetiv brings down, the Bach brings down, but there's no end of fe in benching. If you look through all the letters in benching, the end of fe does not appear in benching at all. A rem is that one who benches properly, there's no af, there's no anger, no ketzef, there's no anger, and there's no destruction to such a person. A person who benches properly, Hashem protects him and watches over him. The Dunu Magid brings down a marshal. An Ani was desperate to see the king. This Ani had nothing at all in the house, no food, no clothing. He was desperate, nothing at all, and his only hope was to see the king and plead for rachmanis from the king. And the Ani travels to the royal city, and he stands in front of the king's palace, and of course he tries to go in, and the guards block his way. The guards don't let him go in, and the Ani, day in and day out, paces back and forth in front of the king's palace, trying to find a way, a time to go in. And after a while, the guards know the Ani. Every day they meet him outside, can't let you in, and they know the Ani walking back and forth in front of the king's palace. After a while goes by, the guards, so to speak, aren't as careful as they were in the beginning. They're friendly with the Ani. And the Ani realizes that he has a chance to run past the guards, because they're not watching him so closely. And one morning, he's speaking to the guards very friendly. Before anyone knows what happened, the Ani takes off, and he runs past the guards up the steps into the palace. And the guards take off after him, screaming, yelling, there's a big commotion. And the Ani just keeps on running and running and running, and suddenly he finds himself standing in front of the king. And the guards come running in, ready to pull him out. And the king says, if he ran in,
if he made it,
here so far, let me hear what he has to say, give him a chance. And he says to the poor man, you have 5 minutes of my time. You have 5 minutes of my time. Present your petition, ask whatever you want in the next 5 minutes. You have 5 minutes. And the Ani starts off by saying, we have no food in the house, and I have hungry children at home. Please have mercy on us. And suddenly he notices the diamonds in the king's crown. And he looks at the diamond and says to the king, wow, what a beautiful diamond in your crown. Such a beautiful diamond. Where did it come from? How much does it weigh? How many of them do you have?
5 minutes.
And the king looks at him and says, the clock is ticking, 5 minutes. Continue with your request. What more do you need? Oh, we need furniture in the house. There's no furniture. We have no beds to lie down upon and no chairs to sit on. The chandelier! It's beautiful! Look at it! The beautiful chandelier! How many lights are burning? How many candles are burning in it? It's beautiful! How much is it weigh? Where did it come from? Who put it up for you? It's so beautiful. 1 minute left. What else do you need? We have doctor bills we have to pay. What beautiful paintings on the wall! Who's the painter? What year was it painted in? And suddenly the king says, take him out. If he doesn't value my time, he doesn't realize that these 5 minutes are precious to me, to my time, he doesn't deserve to be here. Take him out. Says the Dunu Magid, aren't we all like that? We start davening, and we start asking Hashem, Malbakashis, and in the middle, the mind starts racing already. Look at the painting on the wall. Look at the chandelier. Look at him. Who's getting an aliyah today? Who didn't have an aliyah today? Whatever it might be. The mind starts racing about everything else. It's hard. It's hard to concentrate. But a person has to try his best. At least a little bit of davening. Take a little part, a little bit, and try to concentrate. When it's slow, sometimes you're davening in shul, it's a little fast. You have to keep up. Okay. But when you have that quiet moment, especially by Esrei, or a person who's benching, you by yourself, you have that quiet moment. Try a little bit kavana, try to concentrate a little bit of what you say instead of wondering about everything else that's going on around us. Say over a story, Tzvi Hirsch, from Lomza. Not sure who it was, but he, in his later years, he became not well, and the doctors wanted him to eat as soon as he woke up in the morning. He should eat right away.
Yeah.
And he refused to eat before davening. He won't eat before davening. But the only problem was, he didn't daven right away. He davened late. So by the time he finished davening and got around to eating, it was later in the day, and his family was very upset. The doctors are telling you to eat, and you're waiting until after davening, which is quite late in the day. Either, why don't you eat before? The kids said, next time went to the doctor, they asked the doctor to speak to him, and to try to convince his three Harish to eat earlier. The doctor said to him, I have two questions to ask you. Number one is, why don't you eat before davening? Why don't you eat before davening? For your health, you need to eat. Why are you not taking care of yourself? And if you're going to tell me that davening is so important, you have to daven first, why do you daven so late? You should daven earlier. The doctor also asked him, that must have been a guy. The doctor asks him, I don't understand something else about the way you Jewish people daven, the way you pray. He says, I don't understand. You say the same prayers over day in and day out. It's the same prayers, day in and day out. Word for word, exactly the same, no change. Monday, Tuesday, everything's the same. How do you pray like that? Imagine if you go to the king, and day in and day out, you repeat the same speech, word for word, sentence by sentence, the whole paragraph the same to the king. Wouldn't the king get doesn't it sound a little, monotonous? It's gone and on and on and on. And Mr. Hesh told the doctor, one question answers the other. You want to know why I daven so late? Because the truth is, each tefillah is different. Each tefillah is different. When a person davens today, it's not the same tefillah they davened yesterday. Because today, a person has different needs than he had yesterday. A person is in a different situation today than he is yesterday. A person, hopefully, is on a higher level than he was yesterday. A person is closer to Hashem today than he was yesterday. Each day is different. So when I wake up in the morning, each day, I have to prepare myself to daven. To bring myself up to another level, I'm davening today's tefillah, not yesterday's tefillah, not last week's tefillah. Each day is a different tefillah. The reason why I wait to daven is to prepare myself to be able to daven a new tefillah each day. Tremendous insight into davening. Instead of looking at davening, the same tefillah over and over and over again, it's the opposite. A person has to look at it. It's a new opportunity, a new tefillah. There are new bakashas. A person's on a different level than he was yesterday. Famous Psaji Goyin was once traveling, and he came to a certain inn, and the owner of the inn didn't recognize Psaji Goyin, didn't know who he was, and he treated him like everybody else. The next morning, he found out who Psaji Goyin was. He came over to him, and he apologized. He asked Mechila for not treating him with proper respect. And Psaji Goyin said, but you treated me fine. You treated me with great kavod. What are you apologizing for? And the innkeeper said, if I would have known who you are, if yesterday I would have known you were Psaji Goyin, who you are, I would have treated you even better than I did. So Psaji Goyin from there took a Musa Haskel. And he said, every day a person grows. And a person recognizes Hashem more and more each day. Each day he did tshuva for not serving Hashem properly. He said, I known Hashem yesterday. The way I realized Hashem today, I would have served Hashem even better, even more yesterday. Every day a person has to grow. Each day is a day that's different than the previous day. We're holding right now, between the end of Chodesh Av, Chodesh Elul, we're holding the 7 weeks of Nechama, Shiva the Nechemta, the 7 Haftiris that we say, these weeks are Haftiris of Nechama. We're holding now Shabbos Mevarchim, Rosh Chodesh Elul. But, to us, it's the middle of the summer still. We're holding the middle of the summer, and, Rosh Chodesh Elul can wait till,
next.
Okay, but Mo, on the previous diaries, when they eventually Rosh Chodesh Elul, they already started to tremble from the Yom HaDin. Okay, we're not on that Madrega, but we have to try to pick ourselves up, become a little better than we are. So let's try to be mechazik ourselves, especially now in the summer. It's a shvacha time now. It's a time when people are more loose than they are. Let's try to be mechazik ourselves, try to learn a little bit extra, daven a little better, mechazik ourselves, and together we should talk b'zeicha, that we should feel the nechama, b'zeicha to the nechama, that the haftiris tell us all these weeks. We should talk b'zeicha to the gula, Mashiach, that came here in the name of Amen.